This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good afternoon, family and friends, and thank you for joining me on my program called Rise. I'm Renette Marburg, and we have a very, very wonderful guest in our studio this afternoon. I'm going to introduce her a little bit later, but you know, this is a program where we give you wisdom and guidance and the truth when real life happens. And we are going to be touching a very special topic this afternoon, but first and foremost, we have Inalda Lochner in the studio with us, and she's a pharmacist, fledged pharmacist. She's written this incredible book, The Red Sea Road, and it is a journey from hidden abuse to a new identity and value. And she's written under a pseudonym, Anna Madeleine. And I think that is very profound, because I think many of us can relate to this book. So we're going to join her straight after this. Good afternoon, and thank you for staying with us. We have an incredible woman, a warrior woman of God in the studio this afternoon, and Inalda Lochner. She's a giver, an analyst, and a strategist of heart, and a qualified pharmacist, a scholar, a director, business professional, soloist, mother, wife, and an independent woman. She has lived and loved and lost, and she understands the brick walls of survival we build and hide behind, and she has an arsenal of practical and authentic ways to break them down. In her pages of this beautiful book, The Red Sea Road, is going to be really, I think, very relevant in what we're going to share this afternoon. And you know, for me, the highlight is that there is life of healing and victory after a journey of a very difficult life of loss and divorce. But we are going to have, she's going to give us some golden nuggets of insights of how she became a victor and in writing this book. And she's got an incredible journey. So, Inalda, give us a little bit of your journey of life and let us know, what is it that who Abba Father was with you on this journey?
Thank you very much, Renette, for having me this afternoon. It is a difficult subject to speak about. And I was thinking in my preparation that if anybody told me that I would write a book on abuse when I was in my younger years, I would never have believed them, like never ever. And then God has got his ways of working with us through life and through our journeys to get us to the point to do some things that we never foresaw. So I'm going to just give some background to myself, because I think it's important that we all understand that we grow up most probably in quite a normal setup. That's how I grew up. Let me put it this way. Not all our setups are the same, but I grew up in a normal house. I was the eldest of four children. We grew up in the time where right was still right and wrong was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to church on a Sunday morning, and we had respect for others and respect for the things around you. And life seemed quite simple. You were going to maybe go and study, and hopefully you'll get married, have children and have grandchildren. And these things were my very simple ideas about life. In my growing up process, life wasn't always that easy. I've got a Down syndrome brother. It was born when I was 14 years old, and that was the first big hiccup in my life. But you learn and you adapt and you work around those things. Unfortunately, when we have some pathology, like we call it psychological social pathology in our houses, we also tend to pick up wrong ways of coping with what we are doing. So in my home, I learned to do the best at all times. And at the time that my brother was born, my brother, a year younger than me, he really fell apart. And I took it upon me to not become another burden to my parents and to do my very best at everything, which is something.
Thing. They say good children are not always happy children.
Yes. And the thing is that you go into life with this perspective that you need to work hard, you need to keep people happy, you want to keep the peace, all those things. So this is one of the root causes probably of people being in abusive relationships, which is what I will be speaking about as time continues. And we need to understand where we come from. It's important to understand where we come from. because we learn habits as we continue, as we grow up and we continue in life and we take those with us. So a little bit back to my own journey. So I went to study after school. I did pharmacy. Wasn't necessarily my first choice, but that was it. And in my intern year, I met this man who was going to become my husband. On the third time that we dated, I knew that I was going to marry him. At that point in time, I had no insight into how marriage works. I didn't really serve the Lord, so I wasn't praying about a husband and the right husband for me, any of those things. I was very much in love. And he wanted to get married after 3 months. I want to lift this out because this is one of the first signs of a possible abuser. They want to get married very quickly because they can only keep up their whole performance for short periods of
time. 3 to 6 months.
Yes. I didn't know this. I only found this out after he's already left the house. About 25 years later. So anyhow, I said no, and we got married within a year of starting to date. And once we were married, we moved to a different province for work. And within the first 3 months, I knew that I was in trouble. I did not understand what has happened here. The person who dated me was not exactly the person I was seeing at the moment. I thought initially that maybe we are just adapting to what's the surroundings we were in. I had a very difficult time adapting to a small town. I grew up in the suburbs of Cape Town in the Western Cape. But you look at these things and you think, okay, maybe if I do this and maybe if I try that. So I was very much alone. It started to become clear that what was important to him was his own way and his own will. So silly things happened, like we didn't even have a refrigerator and we'd be buying like boys' toys instead of, you know, like,
you know, silly. The focus was not there.
Not there. And then also there was no way of really sorting out the differences we had. There wasn't a way of communicating that would help us to address the differences. So my mother taught me that if you can read, you can resolve any problem, basically. So I started searching. So I went to the P&A and I found a book on communication. The next book is on marriage. And so I continue, but not really with any change in the behavior. In actual fact,
Any proper revelation?
Without any proper revelation, because I didn't study people. In matric, they told me to stick to math, never work with people, please.
That was the course you chose.
That was the course I chose.
It worked for you then.
It worked for me then, though I do love people, but I never realized that we've got ways of communicating, that we've got deeper drivers, many things that we didn't learn. Like, we thought life is simple. We had a braai or barbecue at my grandfather's house every Sunday, and that was life, you know. So by the time we moved back, it was after 2 years of marriage, it's already been some very deep hurts in this relationship. And this thing where a person sets up their way of doing, and either you're going to do it as they want it or you're welcome to leave. And though I didn't grow up really religiously, I didn't grow up with divorce either. So
that is our era.
Yes. So there was one time, I must be very honest, that I actually packed my suitcase and the little amount of things I had. We really had nothing when we got married. We bought our double bed with our marriage money, wedding money. I packed my stuff in my car and I was going to drive back to the Western Cape. And I knew that if I got home, that my mother will say to me, "This is your journey and the bed you've made. You must go back."
That's
so
right.
The next thing I did was I unpacked my car again.
Yes, yes.
So that you come, normal. It's normal. And you come back and you think that when you're back in a more known environment, it might go better with you. But in actual fact, as time continued, it became worse. He went back into studying. I was working tremendously hard and I was doing very well. So this is another trait of this personality type, is that they will sing your psalms or your laurels in front of other people. But when you get home, it's a different story. Mm-hmm. And they will give you some form of punishment for whatever they thought you did wrong. So it could be anything from ignoring me for weeks on end to just being harsh and sometimes being physically abusive. And all this time, I'm trying to make sense of what is happening here. And then you continue searching, continue trying to adapt. So the other thing that we need to understand when we're dealing with abusive relationships is that there's a specific personality type on the person that becomes the victim. In general, they have got a tremendous emotional capacity. They will try and be the peacemaker. They will try and resolve, and they will make excuses for the other person. Mm. So I did that often because my former husband came from a very bad background. So I thought he didn't know. He doesn't know better. Mm. So you keep on giving them another chance. So I think this...
It's that empathetic status that we've been raised up with, you know, is that we just honor and respect, and our morals are so different in the years gone by, and that says a lot, because we justify them because of their childhood, and we stick around.
Exactly, and then you get things like, you know, you need to keep the crown upon their heads.
Yes.
And this is even long before I got to really knowing Jesus as my Messiah, because that even brought a different aspect into it. So the fact of the matter is that we had very little communication, and we were both working hard. And on the outside, it looked like we had this amazing relationship going. By the time we got married, everybody thought we like the golden couple. And the other bad thing is that you keep up this pretense.
The facade.
Yeah, the facade. That's a lovely word to use. So, but the inside story was very, very different. And I think we saw the first counselor when we were married about 6 years. I was on the edge of a burnout, and I brought him into this conversations as well. And it didn't have a very good result. I think one of the main reasons being that I wasn't prepared to speak about what was happening in my marriage. And if I had to rate him, you know, they give you, the psychologist gives you this, I would say, I would give him a 3 instead of, say, 5 is the worst. I will make it maybe 3 because I don't want to hurt him. That type of thing. So one of the most important...
So you even masked yourself in counseling.
I did. It is terribly sad, but I did. Yeah, it's the truth. So I don't think the first round of counseling helped at all, but we continued. So now I fell pregnant with my our first child, my son, and he was furious. He said to me things like, whose child is this? Who's this? And who's, and I'm like, I was so stunned. I couldn't believe it. But it got to a point where I asked him, but what do you want me to do? Do you want me to have an abortion? Because he was so angry at me. He said, I caught him. And I'm like, how can I catch him? I don't understand.
You're married.
Married for 7 years. And I've been waiting, because when he started studying, somebody gave me advice and said, please don't have a baby in this time. And that was very good advice, because the way he started,
it would have definitely.
And he said no, but the whole pregnancy was difficult. Everything was really hard. If I wanted to paint the baby's room, then it's like, why do you want to do that? And it was always like fighting, always opposition. This is the other thing, is that they will resist you. Mm. Not always fighting you, but that is resistance, or the silence, or the that thing of just not agreeing. How often when we were at my work functions, though, he was so proud of what I was doing.
Oh, so you were a trophy outside, a trophy wife outside, something that elevated his image.
Yes.
But behind the scenes, he made sure that it didn't look the same.
Yeah, and for my functions, for instance, we would be late. He would make sure that we're late. But if it was his functions, we had to be there early. Mm. So it was always, that's the other thing, this double set of rules. If you start seeing a double set of rules, you need to start questioning, because if you are one in a marriage, we've got one set of rules. So in any case, the arguments got worse, the silences got worse, the relationship kept on deteriorating. I only found God after I had my son. I went to see a minister. I said to him, I really need to speak to you. I don't have any solutions. And then that way I got to know Jesus as my Messiah. the most amazing, or not, it was amazing the whole way I got to convert. But the other thing was that initially I think I was searching God to find answers for my marriage.
Mm. That was your focus.
Yeah. The reality is that I think God was very clever because I kept on moving, trying to find solutions. And what I found in that process was God.
Amen.
In the fullness of
Amen.
God.
Amen, amen.
So after many years, I found out that he was having affairs behind my back. The first time I forgave, I did all those things and I believed I had to keep going. But by the third time, I knew. And by then, I've been counseled to divorce him already. By the second time, I've been counseled to divorce him. And I just said, no, that's not what I'm hearing from God. So
yes,
be careful.
We want that. It's, but this is what we've been raised up to believe and want for our, the best for our families is to be united.
Yeah, so I fought very hard for my marriage and also not only for the marriage, but for the sake of the children. We'll touch on that later on, but we were not raised to get divorced.
Amen, amen. But now we're going to talk after the session. We're just going to take a music break and then we're going to chat about the book. So there is a reason why you wrote this book, Analda. So we're looking forward to the fact that, you know, this is going to be a book that's going to encourage us as well, but at the same time face some realities. So we're going to take a break right now and we'll join you right after this. Good afternoon, family, friends, and we have a very special guest in the studio with us. Her name is Analda Lochner, and she has written a book under the pseudonym of Anna Madeleine. And you're going to share with us why you've used that name. I think it's very beautiful. But she's a pharmacist as well, and she's written this book intentionally for women that have been through abuse, and God's purpose of the book is to actually tell us why we should not be staying in a marriage, and her journey from abuse and to finding her new identity, which is finding our new identity. And this is a book, it's called The Red Sea Road, and I really believe it's a book that we can really take and relate to ourselves, those that have been through it. So just be encouraged by her reasoning for writing the book. So Analda, why did you feel a need to write the book, especially from the path of that you've chosen as a pharmacist, and suddenly now you're writing a book?
It's a good question, and it was a very profound incident, because after I've started the divorce process, and let me tell you just quickly about how I got into the divorce process, was there was a scripture that the Lord gave me. If the unbeliever wants to depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, because God has called us to peace. And that is in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 15. So that was my final clue in this process of I have to let go, because my concern was that I'm doing the wrong thing in the eyes of the Lord to get divorced. We're not raised for that. It took another 5 years because of the personality type that really doesn't want you to divorce them. They will make it really hard. And in that process, I was in counseling and I was looking up a book on my Kindle, and I saw this book on abuse that I must have downloaded, but I never read it. I read this book in a night's time and I highlighted the things that stood out to me, and I printed them the next day. And as I was printing them, because as I'm reading this, I'm like, oh my goodness, why didn't I read this earlier? Why didn't I understand? It said things like, I didn't know that I needed a degree in psychology to be married. I thought I was going mad. I wanted to die numerous times. I cannot do this anymore. I'm going to go physically die if I continue on this track. How do I know that I'm not the toxic person? So this is the questions. And I'm like, these are my words. I've been saying it for a few years. And as I'm highlighting, I hear the voice of the Lord very clearly. You need to write a book on abuse. And I'm like, no ways. I cannot do this. It's not who I am. I don't want to be the poster child for abuse. I don't want to come out because the shame is so tremendous.
Of course, yes.
And you know, God, if he speaks, he speaks. So now I'm trying to negotiate with him. And in the end, he always wins, you know. I said to him, I will do this if you stay very close to me.
Oh, precious.
And I wrote two books together. So I wrote this book, and the other one is a devotional about the Song of Songs, which is how intimately God loves us.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so I wrote this book, and one of my biggest desires because of it, or for it, is that I do not want anybody else to walk the journey that I've walked. The fact of the matter is, the way that I grew up, the way that the church, whatever they preach to us, they do not give us words for these things. They say you need to respect your husband, but they do not always say the husband should love his wife as Jesus loved his church. We were created equally, according to Genesis, in God's image, both of us in God's image. It doesn't mean that neither one of us don't have mistakes, or we all have our faults and we've got to learn and grow. But you cannot be in a relationship where you are becoming less and less of who God created you to be, instead of growing and growing together, being a light and an example to other people. If you find yourself in a relationship that is devaluing you, that keeps on putting you in a position where you have to give, where you're giving up your own identity, where you start losing,
compromising and overriding your own personality.
Exactly. I'm a very well-educated woman, and in my workplace, nobody would have believed what happened in my house. Nobody. I look back today, I do not know the woman on my CV.
Mm-hmm.
This is the frightening part of this journey. Yes. If I can give words, if this book, not me, if God through this book can give words to people to understand what's happening to them, so that you can start making adjustments, that you can start thinking, that you can start seeing what's happening, that you can reach out to people to help you, that is what needs to happen. We cannot continue on that track, because the other very bad thing about this is, if your children sees this long enough, they learn by example.
Yes, they adopt these behaviors.
Yes, so unfortunately, so so that's the reason I think I wrote the book, was a clear instruction from God. He is very clever, though, that in the writing of it, because it was so hard, so the book is very factual. It gives clear guidelines of what the abusive personality look like, why they cannot form deep relationships, why they need to be the ego every time and everywhere. They need to be, it's like you working with a child.
Yeah,
that you need to keep up in the appearances, because they need to feed their ego. Somebody once said to me, a counselor, she said, if somebody has never learned to love, you can pour in as much love as you want to. It's like a black hole. Mm-hmm. And I relate this to if a baby was born and they were put in a dark cupboard, the optic nerve never develops and they actually cannot see. This is what happens if we do not learn to love. If never received love, they do not even know what they are receiving.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure.
When I wrote the book, so it will describe to you what this abusive personality look like, what the empath or the person being abused look like, and then it will start showing you what you can do, because we first need to realize what is happening to us. That they call the awakening phase, starting to understand that what's happening to you isn't normal. If you are already at a point where you don't want to live anymore, you've got serious problems. If you start getting problems in your body, remember that we are mind, body, and spirit. So we can carry these things and we can pray. I over-spiritualized. I prayed so much that I forgot I've got a mind.
A practical life.
Yes. And the boundaries portion that is covered in the book a little bit, because you need to read more, was only given to me when I was in counseling after my former husband left. It's like, why did you not stop? Why did you stay so long? Why did you not? And this man confronted me so much that I wanted to throw him with something some days. But it is important that you get good counseling. It's important that you've got people around you that you can trust. The other bad thing about a situation like this is that we learn to distrust everybody. And mostly I think we don't trust ourselves.
Of course, because you've already made the bad choices of staying in the relationship.
Yes. So it will show you that. And then I did interviews with five ladies who's been in similar situation because people relate to stories.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's names are pseudonyms.
Of course.
I asked them the same questions, and it was interesting to see their answers. It was interesting to see the advice that they will give to a woman in the same situation. So this book was written specifically for women. Remember, abuse can be female on male, male on female, in working scenarios and in family scenarios, but this is very specifically aimed at a male-female relationship.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and the woman gave very practical help as well. So there's, I believe, a story that everybody could relate to.
Yes. So maybe we can, after this break, you can maybe just share maybe a testimony of, you know, somebody that's gone through something. But at the end of the day, I want you just to encourage the woman with this book, because I really think this is a wonderful book to go to, and a checklist, you know, a lovely checklist to see, because our boundaries get pushed so far. You know, I'm a social psychologist, so I know all about that. So, you know, your boundaries get pushed so far, you don't even know that you're getting abused because you're so used to it. So I think this is a wonderful book, a lovely tool to have to even pass on to somebody else that could possibly be in an abusive relationship. But we're going to take a break, and we're going to join Inalda straight after this. Thank you for staying with us. We have really got a very special guest in the studio, but I do want to encourage you. She's going to give her details of the book later on. But at the same time, we just want to encourage you. We have a WhatsApp number, 081-729-1657, and an SMS line with normal rates applying, 37988. And our Telegram is 081-729-1657. And we have a Facebook page as well, 729 Cape Pulpit. Please go and look us up. We have lots of good things happening on there, where we've been. And you see our guests, and I see some of our presenters. And please interact with us and let us know how you feel about our programs. And then we've also got a counseling department, and I think this is very valid for exactly on the topic that we are speaking about today. And it is 021-9177-000, and it's option 1. And I want to encourage you, family and friends, we've got a wonderful app, 729 AM app. If there's any programs that you've missed or you've not been able to listen to completely, please go and download our app. And we've got a live stream. You can sit at your desk, and you can, or sit in your car and put it on your phone. And there are many ways of getting access to us and get to our live podcasts as well. So please just go download our app, and you get better service from us as well. But this afternoon we have the author of The Red Sea Road, and it is a very wonderful tool to really maybe go and have a checklist to see if you're in a really extreme abusive relationship. So Inalda, you have written it under the pseudonym of Anna Madeleine, and please go ahead and just tell us what would you advise our guests right now?
If you are in an abusive situation, I think it's very important that, first of all, you reach out to get help. Secondly, maybe I should just start right in the beginning and say, you're going to pray like you've never prayed before, I think. And you will get to know God in ways that is very different from maybe other people, as being your rock and the one who's always there. The other thing is that you need to be brutally honest with yourself. This is one of the hardest things to face. It's very painful. And it can lead to tremendous self-condemnation. Like, why on earth did I allow this? Why did I stay? Why did I even have children? And we know if you were in the situation that you were trying to do your best and you were trying to lead a normal life and you were hoping constantly that this will change, you kept on believing this will change somewhere. So you need to forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. The second thing that I think is tremendously important is that to find your own identity again, because you lose your identity in such a fullness in a relationship like this. in my own journey, it went like I didn't even know even what music I used to like. And I love the classics. Somebody said to me, what do you like to do? I said, well, I love movies. They said, what's your best movie? There was nothing in my head. And I had to start finding these things and trusting God that He will show me again what was the things that gave me energy, that gave me joy, that made me who I was long before.
So important.
We will never be who we were before because we've traveled a journey. We've learned lessons. We will be different, but probably and hopefully, prayerfully, you'll be more than you've ever been before because you have survived. Survivors become some of the strongest people ever.
Yes.
So there's a very interesting story that one of the ladies told me. She said to me, if the bulls that they have bullfights with in Spain, if they survive all these daggers that were put into them and they survive this whole ordeal, which doesn't happen often, but it does, they win and not the what do you call those people? The Notre Dame's or whatever, the fighters in any case.
You also slipped my mind and I can't believe.
Matadors. If they survive, then they get treated to be healed and they're never used in that ring again because they're too dangerous. They've learned too much.
Sure.
So be sure that what you've learned, if you allow God to work that within you and to change it into something positive, that you will be able to see things that other people won't be able to see. You will prayerfully be helping other people through processes that are difficult because you are already an emotionally aware person.
Yes.
And you will know when to put up boundaries. You will start walk out seeking the life that is good for you and not only for other people. So we can over-empathize. We can over-give. These things aren't described in the word. It's not described in life. It's like
recipe. Yeah.
No. And then if you were wondering about whether God sees or where He is or not, He does. It was one of the questions longest in my mind. And early this year, I was invited into a group, and I've never been there before. And as I walked up to the gate, this guy introduced me to him and said, I've been praying for you this whole week. And I'm like, interesting. I don't know him from a bar of soap. And we went into the meeting, and at some point in time, he started praying over me. And he mentioned the things that I've never shared with other people.
Sure.
The things that was hidden so deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, when I left, I cried my eyes out. But when I left, I knew Elroy, the God who sees. That was one of my last questions. Did you see what happened to me? And he answered. So then he set a lot of my things that I've wondered about to peace. The next thing is that it can take long to stand up, but please don't give up on yourself.
Yeah.
Take it day by day, and you might make progress, and then you might fall back again. I spend hours on my bed, not knowing what to pray, just praying, Jesus, help me. And eventually, He did. So be kind to yourself. The ladies that
are patient.
And patient. All the ladies that I've interviewed have gone on in their lives. They have rekindled their lives. Some of them are married again. Not all of them, but they have found a new way.
Pathway.
Which is amazing with the help of God. All of them are deeply religious. I think the one is like not that strong, but they've got a very strong sense of who God is and that He works out our paths. Other important things that I would just say is our bodies keeps a score.
They do.
Yes.
It has memory.
Yeah. And in the past year, my body has really been giving me a very hard time. It is so important that we forgive those who hurt us, that we forgive ourselves. And even in this process, the people that let you down, that didn't see, the people that you thought would see that it's going bad with you, who never picked this up for their own reasons, or the people that during a divorce process slander your name for whatever reason, we need to forgive them in order to start a healing for our own sake, not only our emotional healing, but for our bodies as well. All those emotions, all those hurts, they really have a score. So that is very, very important for us to do that. In the process, you will find that God will not only heal you, but He will and only reveal Himself to you, but He will reveal to you who He actually wants you to be. And to become what He created you for. So bit by bit, though, this process breaks us down. This is one of the things that I find so amazing, is that this whole journey broke me down to pieces. But he has started rebuilding me in a very different fashion.
Yes.
And I think recently somebody said to me, "You're so much softer than when I got to know you."
Amen.
And if what I had to learn through this process was to love, but not only to love others. He says, love the Lord your God, all your heart and all your mind. Also,
as you love yourself.
Of yourself. And I didn't understand the loving myself.
That is one thing I use in counseling.
Yeah. I didn't understand what loving myself means. Mm. And it's still not always easy. We quickly fall back into our own patterns, our old patterns. Mm. But it's a deliberate thing. Once you're aware of what you need to change, you can start working off that. We first just need the awareness. So be patient with yourself. Be gracious with yourself. Be good to yourself.
Mm.
Don't worry about the years that's gone by. Time is in God's hands. And he is preparing us for an eternity.
Yes, what a touching topic. I can assure you that we know somebody, or we've been through it ourselves, but only God can take us through these tough times, and he is the one that gives us all the wisdom and the knowledge, and he leads us into an incredible journey of ourselves in his identity that rests on us, and we can be blessed assured that he loves us. We are his daughters and his sons of the Most High. So he wants the best for us. Sometimes it's necessary for us to make deliberate decisions to leave, because that is not God's perfect will for our lives. So family and friends, Analta, where can they find your book? And just give us a direction, and then you can just share with us some details.
Yeah, I think just one more thing is that if they need to get out, the last chapter tells you what to do. If your situation is very dangerous, you need to be careful and you need to follow the instructions and link that up.
This is a wonderful tool to have.
Yeah, so the book you can find if you mail me on Analda, A-N-E-L-D-A, at Sefer, C-E-P-H-E-R. .co.za. I will come back to you as soon as possible.
Okay, fabulous. Thank you so much, Analda. We really are privileged to have had her on the show today, and may the Lord just continuously use you mightily for his kingdom and his glory. And she's also a speaker, and she can be invited as well. So you can email her to that as well. And it's an opportunity, really, to come and relate and really just know that we're not alone. We're not alone on these journeys of life. But family and friends, take care, look after yourself, and stick to the rules. And we will see you next week, same time on Thursday next week. Bye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.